And pick this up with me. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Verse 5. Because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. What a phrase that is. Under God's mighty hand. That he may lift you up in due time. Now that's not the text, but I want to point out those two truths. There's a mighty hand. If you're following the Bob Goss Bible reading plan, you've been reading about God's mighty hand. And you've got God's mighty hand, and a moment in time. And when they come together, something very significant happens. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, all your cares on him, because he cares for you. And that's where I want to take you. Be self-controlled, be alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. That's good. And make you strong. That's better. Firm. That's even better. And steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And I read it purposely because I want you to sing 1008. The Lord's my shepherd. I want to tell you a little story about the 23rd Psalm in a moment. From a little book. That's a wonderful little book. But it's this notion. And I will trust in you alone. It's a telling phrase because it's stating what you must do with the things that bother you. What you must do with the things that it calls are the cares, the things that make you anxious, the things that make you upset, the things that worry you. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. That's the King James. Here's the NIV. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If I were to ask you, what's your favorite Bible verse? You would tell me John 3:16. You would perhaps rattle off things. My peace I give unto you, you know, John 14. Or you'd shout at me Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his glorious purposes. But sooner or later, I reckon that somebody would shout out 1 Peter 5:7. Because these texts are familiar. We say we know them. So sometimes, because we know them, we somehow ignore them. Oh, I know that. I know that. What I wanted to tell you, there's a lovely little book by a lady called Mary Welsh, very practical, very down to earth, called More Than Sparrows. And she tells in it It's a kind of little homily thing. How she was trying to help the teenagers in her church, the young people, to handle this. So she devised a game. And she said to the teenagers, the seniors at school, what I want you to do is to play this. Instead of saying, I'm worried or I'm bothered, first of all say, stop and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And then add, so I'm worried to death. Boy, I tell you, when I read that impacted me. Something tremendous. All the young people, the students in her class there, they all laughed at the idea. But they did promise that in the next week or so, they would play this new peace of mind. She calls it a peace of mind game. Well, Mary tells how later she gets a telephone call from one of the young people who had been paralyzed by worry about an exam that she had been dreading to take. And she says to Mary Welsh, I must tell you how the game helped me. Because as I froze in the exam room with worry, I remembered what to say. The Lord is my shepherd, so I am afraid I'm going to fail. And I laughed at myself. I felt the strangest peace of mind. And I took the exam and I passed. Now, don't get the idea that you can say that and not do the study first. You've got to study as well to pass exams. But it's not a lesson in the absurd way we worry. Play the peace game this week. Hey? Play the peace game. The Lord is my shepherd, so I'm worried about. And you'll laugh at yourself. You will laugh at yourself. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a Bible truth and a Bible principle. In the hustle and the bustle of life, when everything seems ready to fall apart, you can sit down, you can stop, you can pick up a portion of Scripture, you can quieten your heart with the prayer, you can tell your Heavenly Father about what's making you anxious, and you can turn those things over to Him. And one of the most significant things Jesus said time and time again, be of good cheer, Matthew 9, 14, 27, and so on. Take heart. We face life's many crises. And Jesus wants to encourage us with a tremendous word of reassurance. Here's John 16, 33. Be of good cheer. Take heart. For I have overcome the world. I grew up with a little chorus song. Many of you older ones will know it. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. And I just wanted to talk with you about how it's so easy to be burdened by life's problems. I mean, what we need to do is put our problems into God's hands and allow His peace to come into our hearts. So when you hurry through the pages of your Bible and getting almost to the end of your New Testament, you come to this special statement made by Peter to a people who submitted themselves to God. They have humbled themselves under God's mighty hand, trusting God to direct their lives, to work out his purposes, and to do it in his time. Two key words. The mighty hand of God. He can direct our lives and the lives of others and the events and the circumstances and the happenings and the affairs. We've just finished reading Ezra. Man, what a book to reflect on what the hand of God upon him was able to accomplish. If you haven't read it, go home and read Ezra 7 and 8. Chapter 7 and chapter 8. Moses knew the hand of God was on him for 40 years there in the backside of the desert. And in due time. In due time, God sends him to deliver Israel. Joseph is under God's hand for 13 years. And in due time, God lifts him up to the throne, makes him a deliverer and a blessing, not just to Egypt, but to Israel and to the whole of the world of that time. So one of the key benefits of this kind of relationship is that you are allowing God to take care of your burdens. The word translated anxiety or care, if you look it up in a dictionary, it'll tell you this. It's the state of being pulled apart. Now, we all know about that. Agree with me? When you're anxious, when you're bothered by your care, you are being pulled apart. Let me tell you three simple things. You are in this verse. Did you hear it? Cast all your care upon him. Now I find that's very impressive, because it tells me God knows me and God knows you. And here I am living in a world that's so impersonal, living in an age of so-called big things, of big numbers, of these astronomic figures they're throwing around and what's going to happen during and after and because of Brexit and so on. They don't talk of millions, they talk of billions. 39 billion payment to get a divorce from the European Union. You can't figure that, you see. We're in the age of the credit cards and the product codes and the scanners and the computers and the emails. It's incredible. You get your little bit of card and psh, so big, so vast. I sent an email to Australia yesterday. To Australia. Bottom of the world. And how they're all talking, we don't need cash anymore. And so on. You know, one of those space rockets, the Ariane space rocket, was destroyed after 45 seconds because it was veering out of control and off course. Do you know how much it cost? £550 million. Aye. Hey, God, have you got some kind of cosmic computer to keep track of this world? All I know is this. John 10 tells me he calls his own sheep by name. God did not start knowing and loving me when I raised my hand in a meeting in the church and said, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know what my Bible tells me? God loved me and God loved you when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2:4. What my Bible tells me, God is tender and compassionate. Why? Because he knows our frame and he remembers we are dust. And when I read the story in the gospel of Jesus, I see how he always had time for the individual. Look at Mark 10. Now, some moms have got their babies and their little ones with them. And the disciples want to push on. Hey, you don't stop them. Don't stop them. Because of such is the kingdom. The unimportant babies and children. The unattractive, the leper. He'll reach out his hand and bring new life and healing and blessing. The unacceptable, the woman who has to come to the well at Sychar because she's ostracized by the rest of her community. She's already gone through five men. And the women are saying, you're not going to get my man. And then a guy, you see him, picture him, hiding up in a tree, Zacchaeus. And he goes home, says, Zacchaeus, let's have tea together. You see? And a woman that's been 12 years trying to find an answer to a problem, pushing through a crowd just to touch the bottom of his cloak. Just to touch the fringe. And find it brings healing and blessing. See, all of this tells me that no matter who you are and where you are, anybody and everybody, we don't have to wait to see if we're the right ethnic group, sex, gender, or creed. There's no political correctness in any of this. There's no ageism, because 2/3 of us here would be excluded. There's no time limits. There's no range of burdens that we're carrying that are going to disqualify us. It's just you. Just you and your care. Isn't that impressive? God knows you. He says, cast your care. But there's something more than being impressive. There's this implicit notion that God's got time for you. That you count. That we all count. Have a look at the community. Have a look at the workplace. Have a look at the neighborhood. And you'll see accident victims. You'll see people who know the brutalities of divorce. Somebody called me from North Wales yesterday, right out of the blue. I haven't spoken to them for maybe 12, 15 years. And part of it, they were in the church I came from. Part of it now, they were young people then. And now the brutality of a divorce with their children. Because the girlie has been made to feel she's a nothing kind of person, and so on. And she's only one. Come to my home. Come to half a dozen homes. Come to 100 homes. There's cancer in my home. And that's just me. Come to other homes where the stroke victims are lying on the bed. terminally a problem for the family. Go and talk to the people. Talk to the lady in the square who'll tell you her husband's just had a heart attack. Or the men, and they say, my wife's just had a stroke. Roy, with Winnie Byford. The funeral we had on Thursday. Someone spoke to me already this morning about dementia, senile dementia or Alzheimer's. People who are experiencing the end of a love affair. The young men and women who, because they've taken skunk or whatever it is, have got psychological problems. The single parent families, the unmarried mothers, people who've got money problems, people in debt, people who've lost their homes through repossession, people who've got major problems because of their teenagers. The explanations vary. Some were because of circumstances over which they had no control. Some because of what society has done to them. Some of these things happen because of the stupidity of our own actions. Some because God is trying to work in our lives the principle of pruning and shaping us. People have said, are you cursing God at the moment? No. When it's all over with my boy, he will have tried me, and I will come out like pure gold. In all of these circumstances of life, there's this truth waiting to be discovered that you count. God has got time just for you. You are in this verse. Cast all your cares. So your cares are in this verse. It's so explicit. Your cares. Remember one day when the wind howled and the sea raged and the disciples were frightened and in fear they screamed at Jesus who was sleeping, teacher, don't you care if we're going to drown? Stories in Mark chapter 4. He could have gone on sleeping. He could have told them, shut up, leave me alone. He could have jumped up impatiently and angrily and stopped the storm and then told them off. But he didn't. He hushed the storm. And in the process of doing that, he gave us a wonderful insight. The disciples were saying, don't you care? That's their question. It's our question. It's a timeless question. And sometime or other, every one of us here will ask it. Does God care? Or is my pain some kind of mistake that God has made? Where is God while I'm hurting? He's right there. And he's listening. And he's healing. And he's saying, peace. Be still. And he's saying, cast all your cares on me. And it seems no one is exempt. For in one way or another, at some time or another, there are experiences which come to all of us. And the Bible calls them the cares of this life. And if you've got the courage to say to me, that's never been true for me, then I'm glad you're in my church, because I give you one that you need to be bothered by. The Apostle Paul talks, you know what one of my problems is? He says, it's the care of all the churches. If you had nothing else happen to you, come and care about the church. But I know it's not just as simple as that. You do have cares. There are cares that are to do with the family, with the children, with the husband, with the wife, with aged parents. Because cares come in all shapes and sizes and colours and types. Like I said already, some to do with our finances, some to do with the job, some to do with, well, our physical and well-being, our emotional state, our depression, our despair, cares about our health or the health of others, cares about the world around us, the opinions that others are expressing, the lifestyle. I'll tell you something. Where I'm living now, it distresses me. The lifestyle of the world in which I have to pastor and minister and share my life, it distresses me. And it must do the same to you. This inevitable decline in standards, in truth, in integrity, in respect, where will it end? Cast all your cares on him. Let me tell you a humorous story. You know, I pick up trivia all over the place. A man raised chickens. He had a cockerel, a rooster. And the crowing of the rooster annoyed the neighbor. So the neighbor comes and says, that miserable bird of yours keeps me up all night. So the answer was, well, I don't understand. He never crows more than two or three times. He says, but I'm waiting for him to crow. He won't go to sleep until the rooster crowed, the cockerel crowed. Hey, that's what keeps me awake. Can you identify with that? Worries about situations that are going to be here tomorrow. Full of cares. Because we are borrowing from our tomorrow. So what is happening? We are being pulled apart. It's so explicit. Your cares. And it is so extensive. All your cares. Not just some of the situations outside this verse. All does not mean some. But that's how we often behave. Times when we think we can handle issues for ourselves. Keep the little cares. But then they soon become big problems. You cannot hand things over to the Lord piecemeal. Once and for all, we have to learn how to give him all our cares, past, present, and future. And when a new situation arises, remind the Lord, remind yourself, hey Lord, I've turned this over to you. If anybody knew from experience that God cared for his own, it was Peter. Say, how do you know that? Well, read the Gospels. Read Mark 1. There's his mother-in-law, lying sick with a fever, and Jesus heals her. They were bothered as a family about mother-in-law. Been fishing all night and caught nothing. Okay, throw the net over the other side. And they catch such a great catch of fish that the other boats have to come and help them Bring it in. How are we going to pay the temple tax? Go on, catch a fish. In his mouth is a shekel. That'll pay the temple tax. Hey, is it you, Lord? This apparition, this figure that's coming in the darkness of the night. If it is, bid me come. And he walks on the water. You're not going to take Jesus prisoner. And he pulls a sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus fixes it again. Because Peter will be in trouble. And when he lacked courage and betrayed his master, on resurrection day, he said, would you tell Peter something special from me to him? And he's in prison now in Acts chapter 4. Peter, what's going to happen? Tomorrow they bring you before a tribunal. It's the end. No. Wait. Cast all your care. And an angel comes. The shackles fall off. The doors swing open. The guard's eyes are closed. He walks out in freedom, out of the prison cell. Tough times and tough things are happening everywhere. And we are coming apart at the seams is about the best way I can use a colloquialism. And when it's happening like that to you, remember this never alters, this never changes. It never gets exhausted. This promise is never withdrawn that you can cast all your cares. I've got to tell you one more thing. You are in the verse. Your cares are in the verse. And Jesus is in the verse. Cast all your cares upon him. Because he cares for you. Oh, don't ever forget who he is. The three most revolutionary words ever spoken are that God is love. And sometimes we are so familiar with that tremendous truth and the help they contain, we forget how it's demonstrated. It was demonstrated at his birth. The angels announce to the shepherds this tremendous event. A star comes to wise men who come and worship. Thousands heard his teaching. There were no secret handshakes, no secret ceremonies. Jesus was always available for the religious establishment to question him and the common people to hear him. And then there was the day when quite openly they nailed him to a cross and suspended between heaven and earth and hell for all the earth to see. They knew that God loved unconditionally. And after that he rose from the grave. The stone is rolled away, not to let Jesus come out. Oh, no. It's to let you and me and the rest of the world look in that the tomb is empty. Amen. And the cross is vacated. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive forevermore. Oh, he wanted the world to know that he cares. For there is no one who understands you quite like Jesus. The pain in your heart, he cares. When you're tired, when you're weary, when you're worn, he cares. when you're disillusioned and you're dejected, like those two that were walking down the road to Emmaus. He cares. And if you ever wonder, does he care for you, go and look at the cross yet again. Don't forget who he is, and don't forget what he does. How does God show his love and care? I think there are four specific ministries. He'll give us the courage to face our cares and not run away. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you, and I will strengthen you. I'll be at your right hand. He'll give us the wisdom to understand the situation. For if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally, will not scold you for asking. And he'll give us strength so we know what to do. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he'll give us the faith to trust him to do the rest and to do the best. I don't expect God to have a magic wand. I don't expect him just to wipe. What I do expect is that he will work in me as well as for me. That he will work in us as well as for us. For as we, when we're being pulled apart, cast all our cares upon him, we'll discover he cares for you. Let me give you one more Bible verse, and I'll have to take you back to Psalm 55. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. There is one other time when that word cast, in that context, that particular word is used. And that's when they cast Daniel into the lion's den. Do you get the picture? You think, hey, Daniel, we've tied your hands, we've tied your legs. You have to go in the furnace now, Daniel. They cast him into the furnace. Blepo. Blepo. And Psalm 55 says, cast, throw your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Are you with me? You receive it this morning? Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Lord, that says it all. We put everything in your hands. We cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Blessed be your name. Take us about our day and our week so that we may, because of your presence and favor and your grace and your mercy, be a blessing, a comfort, and a joy to others that we meet. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.